May I give you all a very warm welcome to Wilmslow Methodist Church and to this service of thanksgiving for the life of our much loved friend John Bourne. People I know have travelled a long way to be here, and it's a real blessing to have you with us. This has been John's church for almost 40 years. Within that time, John has served as church steward and circuit steward, worked with the teenagers, shared in study groups both here and with our friends at the URC, and for many years was the organiser of the annual Christian Aid collection in this church. Up until illness, he was still serving by organising rotas of people to welcome. He was very much a part of this church family and community. And so it's very appropriate that we meet here to give thanks to God for his special life. And so we gather as family, church family and friends, to support one another in the huge sadness of loss, but also to celebrate John's life, to give thanks for his friendship and the relationship that we shared with him, cherishing memories and reflecting on all the ways in which he touched our lives. After the service, Pat and family would very much like you to join them for refreshments in the church halls, providing an opportunity for you to share your memories with them and with one another. But now we begin our worship by singing the hymn, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is Here." For those who have hymn books, it's number 20. Seated. We meet in this moment to worship God, to give thanks for the life of John Bourne, to commend him to God's loving and faithful care, and to pray for all who mourn. In the presence of death, Christ offers us sure ground for hope and confidence and even for joy, because he shared our human life and death and knows our struggles. Jesus was raised again to bring new life and to show that pain and sorrow can be transformed. He offers us life in all its fullness, which lasts forever. Let us pray. God, our Father, you care for us with a love so tender, so gentle, so strong, with a love which stretches out into all eternity. Hold us in all the emotions of this day, both the deep sense of love and profound thanksgiving for a life shared, as well as the complex feelings of grief. In the heartbreaking ache of loss, bring your healing and strength. Help us to take comfort from the fact that our loved ones are with you, and that the love that we have shared with them is eternal. That love will never cease. We especially pray that you will comfort and support Pat, Tim, Nigel, Richard, Alistair and Shirley and all John's family. And we ask your blessing upon all. As we mourn, may we be given the capacity to appreciate with fresh intensity the one who we have lost, so that memories and smiles of gratitude will be rekindled. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for your deep love and the strength and comfort you bring us today through your presence with us. May your Holy Spirit lift us above our sorrow to the peace and light of your constant love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading is taken from the letter to the Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. This is one of those passages that almost summarizes what it means to live as a Christian, to clothe ourselves in God's love, and to respond to one another with kindness, compassion, grace, and forgiveness, bringing all into harmony. As you will have heard that reading, no doubt John, different aspects of John's love will have been brought to mind, and the way in which he dwelled deeply in God's word. John took his faith seriously. He thought about it very deeply, and he truly reflected that love and consideration for others in his working life and in his community. Even in his very courageous battle with illness, John would always ask after others. expressing kindness and concern for those that he loved. Even in that time, he still wanted to learn and to grow. I was so touched by the depth of his faith during that time, his love and grace and his thankfulness. In life, we're called to grow into those qualities of love. John wasn't perfect, as none of us are, but he truly sought to grow in such love. As Christians, we believe that love is not just our duty, but also our destiny. In life, we seek to journey into the fullness of love until we finally return to the very source of love itself. And we give thanks today that John is held in that love. The other call in that passage is to sing psalms and hymns with thanksgiving to God in our hearts. And today we have so much to give thanks for as we celebrate John's life. John had a deep love of poetry. One of his favourites by R.S. Thomas, The Bright Field, about the pearl of great price, perhaps reflects John's glimpse of divine love, an awareness of the value of love at the heart of all. Going to invite Richard to come and share that poem with us.
I have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had treasure in it. I realise now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, nor hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning aside, like Moses, to the miracle of the lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth was, but is the eternity that awaits you.
Thank you. His love of poetry, his desire to be always learning and growing in faith, his deep thinking. Perhaps all these explain his choice of the next hymn, which is his favourite hymn, written by one of his favourite writers, George Herbert. Teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see. Seated. going to invite Estelle to come and share with us.
I first met John around 18 years ago here at church. Very kindly, he offered to be a trustee of Kibera Need, the charity that I ran that supported projects in Kibera, a slum in Nairobi in Kenya. His help was really invaluable at that time. More recently, from chats after church, I learnt that he loved poetry, as do I. This summer, while John was living in Hazelmere, I was privileged to visit him most weeks. We spent a peaceful hour talking, reading, sharing news. I'd bring poetry collections I liked, and John shared his favourites too. For me, these were special times, a space, I think, for both of us away from worry, where we read words that tried to make sense of this world of ours and of its joys and its sadnesses. My only sorrow is that I didn't share such time with John sooner. John wrote in the front of his poetry collections particular poems that he liked. This poem by Mary Oliver even earned an asterisk. It's called Goldenrod. Goldenrod. On roadsides, in fall fields, in rumpy branches, saffron and orange and pale gold, in little towers soft as mash, sneeze bringers and seed bearers, full of bees and yellow beads and perfect flowerlets and orange butterflies. I don't suppose much notice comes of it, except for honey and how it heartens the heart with its blank blaze. I don't suppose anything loves it, except perhaps the rocky voids filled by its dumb dazzle. For myself, I was just passing by when the wind flared and the blossoms rustled and the glittering pandemonium leaned on me. I was just minding my own business when I found myself on their straw hillsides, citron and butter-coloured, and was happy. And why not? Are not the difficult labours of our lives full of dark hours? And what has consciousness come to anyway, so far, that is better than these light-filled bodies? All day, on their airy backbones, they toss in the wind. They bend as though it was natural and godly to bend. They rise in a stiff sweetness, in the pure peace of giving one's gold away.
Thank you. Tim and Alistair are going to share their reflections now about John.
I'd like to take this opportunity just to say how lovely it is to see so many people here at my father's Thanksgiving service. When I arrived this morning at my father and Pat's house, Pat was busy getting all the cards that she'd received, the sympathy and with thanks cards, out. And she was putting them up on the shelves, and I counted up over 115 cards. And for me, that was very special to see all these lovely cards with all these lovely responses and messages in them. And it demonstrated to me that my father really was a very special man. Everybody here today will have known John in so many different ways, for different lengths of time, and perhaps for only parts of your working lives. I would like to share with you a few memories that might help paint a bigger picture of the John that we knew and that we loved. My father followed in his father's footsteps through Stockport Grammar School around 1950. He loved and excelled in science. Taking his A-levels a year early, he clearly had huge potential. I always remember him telling me how, as a teenager, he would use his electrical skills, presumably from his physics lessons, to set off Bangor fireworks remotely in the path of unsuspecting individuals. This was the prankster and scientist joining forces. At school, he also enjoyed his father's sport, lacrosse, a fast contact team game requiring agility with your stick and ball as you ran across the pitch. John loved music throughout his life. Shirley, John's sister, recalls as a teenager regularly hearing loud music coming from John's bedroom. He would have his friends in the room and there would be a large red light purposefully fixed on the door outside the room, warning against uninvited entry. Woe betide anybody who ventured through. All Shirley could hear was the reverberating around the house was the lights of the 1950s, Frank Sinatra, Doris Day, Johnny Ray. In his latter years, John enjoyed a range of classical music, erring towards the more modern composers. He loved to attend live concerts, and he was definitely the man for those difficult classical music quiz questions. After leaving school, my father did his military service, mainly in Cyprus, an unpleasant posting in the late 50s, around the time when the Greek Cypriot guerrilla group were determined to remove the British from Cyprus. John returned and joined the family business, British Fittings Limited, and he worked here until his retirement. Founded by his father, it was a buyer and distributor of copper and steel pipes and valves across Manchester to local factories, hospitals and businesses. To this day, many of John's close family will remember how he would often point out these tubes and key clamp fittings as he saw them used around the country, often as handrails alongside steep steps and footpaths. Holcombe Beach in Devon being a very familiar example for many of the family will remember. Under John's leadership, the company went from strength to strength, moving to bigger premises despite enduring the recessions of the 70s and 80s. When times were tough financially, John insisted the senior leadership team would take pay cuts to ensure the lowest paid still receive their bonuses. To me, this gesture portrays one of his greatest attributes. He was comfortable and happy with whatever he had, and he always thought of others before himself. Dad was always a great supporter of British commerce. He was knowledgeable, well respected as a local businessman, and was often invited to speak at regional business meetings. With this in mind, he would often buy British products if at all possible. I recall trying to persuade him to buy an Audi A4 car many years ago. Pat actually fancied the soft top version. But he would never entertain the idea of a foreign made car. Real principles and loyalty to British workmen, perhaps missing at times today, and maybe something we will all be considering more of in the future. My father always enjoyed the outside world. I remember there were camping holidays in France when we were young and many UK beach holidays. On the beach, he would be armed with a spade and he would be always leading the assault against the incoming tide, building huge sand fortresses. Big dams built from sand provided such fun and enjoyment, especially when teaching his grandchildren this born tradition. As a great walker throughout his life, he would always be planning the next hike. It may have been for the church walking group, a walking holiday, perhaps an alternative to the Sunday postprandial nap. I remember taking him up one of the Snowdon Mountain scrambles before he retired. Perhaps a little outside his comfort zone, we scrambled over the rocks and heather from Glass Lynn up the spur to the east ridge of Snowdon. No difficulty whatsoever. He took it in his stride. He enjoyed the fine views from the ridge while we had a picnic. This enjoyment of being outside has continued throughout his life. Even when he was in hospital after his stroke, he would ask to sit outside in the ward garden. And more recently in Haslemere, he would take up any offers to circumnavigate the nursing home in his wheelchair. My father was a devoted family man. He loved his extensive family, and he would always take an interest in whatever Richard, Nigel, Alistair or myself were up to. No matter how far away we were or how infrequently we visited, he would always regularly phone us or send us books, magazines or interesting newspaper cuttings. having 8 grandchildren was a delight for him most of the time. Whether he was learning Swedish traditions and responding to the call of Farfar, or keeping up with the latest gadgets and technology and bicycles, or just constructing the biggest Hot Wheels track ever, he had fun. He was in his element. We will all remember a special family Easter 2008 holiday in Wales. A big old farmhouse near the coast, south of Barmouth, was the setting. Family games, long walks, home cooking, and of course our own Swedish Easter tree. I'm sure the grandchildren will remember searching for all the Easter eggs that John had hidden in the garden. Dad was a caring, thoughtful and generous man. He would never hesitate to go out of his way to help someone. Sometimes quiet, but always quick-witted when the moment arose. He was always a reliable source of sensible advice, and many would seek his opinion on matters of importance. He had many amazing qualities, but the ones that stood out to me after his devastating stroke was his tremendous faith and resolve to never give up. We will all miss him so very much.
Moments like this put perspective on things and perspective on our lives. We reflect upon the inconsequence of our actions in the face of great odds. In public life, we often celebrate big, momentous contributions, not ones in and amongst the everyday. The contributions that glue people together and keep us in check. That was John. He kept us in check, all right. He was the most ethical and humble of human beings. And the world really needs people like John. Ones who have empathy and consideration and knowledge. He took an interest in everything. Theatre, poetry, quantum physics. He was, after all, the only person who really knew how to talk to George about string theory. He loved nature, ecology, theology, and of course art. It was John who took a long-haired teenager in 1984 to the newly opened Sainsbury Centre for Visual Arts in Norwich to see an exhibition of surrealist sculpture by Alberto Giacometti. And it was this the moment that opened my eyes up to the world of museums. It was also on that same holiday when, with Pevsner in hand, we all took a self-guided tour of Norfolk's notable hammerbeam church roof support structures. Who'd have thought you would find such interest in a roof just by looking up? In hindsight, I don't really ever remember him talking about himself, only taking an interest in others. Asking questions, and the right questions. He was, of course, an astute businessman, firm and frugal. He could maintain the life of any household item with an expanse of black duct tape. But fair, and sometimes embarrassing. Such as the legendary exchange in Robert Leonard's menswear store in Wilmslow, whilst haggling for the price of a suit, haggling it down, and in the process, the salesman offering him a choice of any tie from a box. And John retorted, "I've got a box of ties like that at home I could offer you." He was modest, possibly heroically modest. He could never resist, amongst all the options for a businessman of his stature, a beige Four Cortina estate. The L version, not the GL version. When we finally conceded to luxury in the form of a new Chrysler Alpine, deluxe with black vinyl roof, headlight washers, and even front electric windows. This was immediately undermined by the in-flight check-in routine he devised to test the newfound technology with glee before takeoff, accompanied by an audio cassette with a suitable tune of pomp. Richard Strauss, I think. And so importantly, he was a connoisseur of silliness. We listened on endless hot car journeys down to Cornwall to endless goon shows, the complete series of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I'm sorry I haven't a clue. He took us to obscure art house cinemas in salubrious parts of 1980s Manchester, in pilgrimages to double bills of Monty Python and Mel Brooks. He introduced us to ELO. But as well as a consumer of silliness, he was also a producer, an artist, a regular maker of audio cassette comedy dramas, most notably the annual birthday address, recorded on an audio cassette to his mother-in-law, complete with impressions, funny voices, and sound effects. His love of technology reached its zenith in the cine films we made, specifically the movies we made to be played backwards, including such epics as Uneating a Banana, Falling Onto a Bike, Spilling Water Back into a Bucket from Your Head, and the Stepladder One. John could do magic, and most famously he could do magic with animals, toy animals that is. No bedtime was complete without a full theatrical show of misbehaving teddy bears and unruly rabbits, and the astonishing capabilities of elephant's ears. We grew out of it reluctantly, but it wasn't long before the show was resumed for our children, his treasured grandchildren. John will live on with us in his humour and in his language. The killer deadpan line in A Game of Consequences, his turn of phrase, the second fridge will always be known as F2. Mum's repetitive stories will always have numbers and be archived. The one about the tithes and Robert Leonard's, 35C. I thank him for being in our lives and would probably love to thank him now for being the greatest example of a life well lived, but he'd probably be in the kitchen stacking the dishwasher.
Thank you so much, Tim and Alistair, for sharing those memories with us. What a truly wonderful man. One of my first memories of John is of him leading a church walk and sharing in conversation with him. Pat told me that he took real pleasure in the English countryside. On holiday in Austria, he once said, "It's beautiful, but not as nice as Mac Forest." John was, for many of us, a quiet, gentle, self-effacing man. But Pat has said that he had a much stronger personality than he ever presented. He's going to share a few of Pat's thoughts with us. It's true, he was a quiet, quietly spoken and courteous man. However, he was also quick-witted and had a sharp sense of humour and always had a rapid, funny reply to everything you said, a master of the put-down. A friend once said, "You have to watch out for John Bourne. He gives you a verbal nip on the ankles when you're not looking." And that was just him. He was always in charge, in control and on the ball and trying to keep me up to speed. He had a restless energy, always planning where to go and what to do. Most importantly, he was a fantastic stepfather to Richard and Alistair, always supportive and encouraging. A caring, loving, generous-hearted, lovely man who in 40 years of marriage was never boring. Pat described to me the huge joy of Nigel and Tim becoming part of her family and John's deep love of every one of you. And I know that for all your love and all your care of John, I'm sure he would want me to say a huge thank you to you. How lovely just to see the amount of friends and family there for John, especially in the last 6 months or so. Let us now come to our prayers of thanksgiving for this special man, our friend John. God, source of all life, mysterious, profound, generous in love, whose imprint is on every soul, we come to you with our gratitude for John. We give thanks for his life, for all that he shared with us, for the gifts he gave us just by being himself. We give thanks for the way in which John ran his company, showing deep respect, love and care of his staff. We thank you for his humility and his service, the way in which he gave of his time for others in this church, circuit and community. We thank you for John's deep faithfulness and example to us, for all that he shared with the modern believers and other study groups over the years. We thank you for his lifelong love of learning, of astronomy, science, theology and the arts, his joy in poetry, and for all the passions that he shared with us. We give thanks for John's love of Pat, together for almost 40 years. His love of his sons, Tim, Nigel, Richard and Alistair, and their partners, and his grandchildren, William, Rob, Tildy, Leo, George, Alfie, Oscar and Felix, and his sister Shirley and family. We thank you for all the memories of time spent with John over the years, his early years, his working life, his life at home, for his smile, his wit and humour, and for his incredible courage in illness. Above all, we give thanks for the love John gave us and for the many ways he enriched our lives. For John, there is now deep peace and a knowledge of the completeness of love, our love and God's. Suffering has ended. For us, there is sorrow and pain, but we know and trust that you, God, are the giver of all comfort and that we are never out of reach of your love. Show us that nothing of love is ever lost through death, and that the gifts John gave us, just by being himself, and all the love he poured out, are present now in our lives and memories. God of compassion, hear our prayers for all who mourn, especially for Pat and all John's closest family and friends. Give us your peace and your strength. Help us to cast every care on you and know the comfort of your love. Loving God, be with us as we release John with our love into yours, into the mystery of love which never dies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer, which you'll find printed on your service sheet. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It's number in 503 for those using the hymn books, 503.
Thank you.
words of commendation. God, our Creator and Redeemer, into your keeping we commend your servant John Bourne, whom we love. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the joy of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of heaven and the saints in light, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Tenderly may time heal your sorrow. Gently may friends ease your pain. Softly may peace replace your heartache. May grace be found in unexpected places. And may you know God's comfort, love, and strength. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love, both living and departed, now and always. Amen.